It may not have occurred to you, but Jesus had mastered the art of having no human thought. And when he looked out at some problem, what had externalized was the thought of those entertaining the problem. And when he looked out with divine thought, why, divine thought externalized as the dissolution of the problem. Always what appeared was the divine thought functioning where he stood, because he had rid himself of all human thought. I have overcome the world of human thought. And divine thought is the only being functioning where I stand. And therefore what I see, if it's a tempest to you, it will not be a tempest to divine thought. And divine thought, being the power, will externalize what it sees. It will externalize tranquility. When divine thought looks at disease, it will not see disease. It will externalize perfection of form. And so you become an instrument for divine thought, and then it externalizes its divine thought into divine manifestation. All around us is the kingdom of God. That's where we are. It would be ridiculous to think that the kingdom of God is just an idea without being a reality. It would be ridiculous to think that the kingdom of God is hidden behind a cloud. The kingdom of God is where you're standing. And your thought about it externalizes, and you call it this world. But when your thought is gone and divine thought functions through you, you will call it the kingdom of God, for you will see it as it is. And that is why there are seven steps to illumination, or seven veils to rent away from the hypnosis of human thought. That's Jacob's ladder, up and down. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now you remember, the seven golden candlesticks are the seven unchanging purposes that we are to fulfill. And as you fulfill a purpose, you have rent another veil, you have broken another seal, and the star is the spiritual release. So that ultimately there are seven stars, or seven purposes fulfilled. And he who holds the seven stars is he who has dominion over heaven and earth. He who has dominion, who has traversed that way, the Christ realized. And it is Christ realized who is speaking to Christ in you. And that first church, that Ephesus, is existence. Divine existence, infinite, is speaking to divine existence in you. And it is saying, take your orders from the one who has the seven stars in his right hand. Take your orders from the infinite Christ and no other. Be you rooted in the infinite Christ, for only he who has the seven stars knows the way to reality. And so this is an invisible conversation in spirit between the infinite Christ to Christ in you, which is existence, one of the qualities of Christ in you. The church of existence in your being is being admonished here. that it has not been totally faithful to the Father. It has gone on its own way, into its own will. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. The Christ of you is ever itself, and the false human consciousness of you, straying from that Christ, has its false apostles. It has five false apostles that it believes in. It calls them sight and touch and hearing and taste and smell. These are the false apostles. And they are liars. But because your false consciousness believes them, you stray into a sense of human existence when all you are is divine existence. And patiently the Christ of your being stands there, watching your false consciousness depart from itself, waiting for you to return to the reality of your own being. Always as you move out into a prodigal false human self, unaware that divine existence is your true being now, even while you are straying and erring and hurting and denying your own existence by unawareness of it, you still remain the perfect divine self. Nothing can change it, even your ignorance of it. Thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Christ in you will never faint. Divine existence in you will stand there no matter what the false consciousness does. Behind all that you do, sustaining you in spite of your human selfhood, is your divine being. And this is God the Father infinite, through Christ, recognizing that Christ in you will never perish. Revealing to you that I can never leave you or forsake thee. Even when you deny my presence, I remain. Why? Because I am thee. I can't leave myself. Myself is yourself. Myself is the self of your neighbor. And you will discover that the self that can never leave you, which is yourself, and is the self of all who walk the earth, is the one invisible, infinite Christ that never changes, for it has the seven candlesticks and the seven stars. It alone has the total will and purpose of the Father, and the wayward human consciousness, which has run off into its own will, its own false ego, is merely running away from all of the things within itself that it can claim and accept and enjoy, while it is seeking those things out there in a nothingness that doesn't exist. Your hypnosis is being revealed here as a divided consciousness, the one which knows not its own identity as Christ and the reality of you, which is that Christ. You see, we've covered this in our earlier talk, but now we're putting it together with the words of John. Always, the Father within you is being addressed by the infinite Father. God speaking, the Father God speaking to God the Son. And we are privileged to listen to this divine conversation within ourselves. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Being divine, your first love is to serve the infinite Father. That first love thou hast left. And this is the revelation of the false consciousness which has strayed from serving the Father. This is a flat statement that man on earth is not doing the will of God. Oh, we repeat it in our little Bible chores. We say, Father, thy will be done. But only the divine self of you does the will of the Father. Humanly, you cannot do the will of the Father. And when you are not doing the will of the Father, you are in a separate will. That is the way you dig your grave. To do the will of the Father, you must be divine. And so you must accept your divinity. For the will of the Father is only done in divinity. You can never cling to a human sense of self and do the will of the Father. You will be doing your concept of what you think is the will of the Father. You'll be running to your neighbor to do a good deed because you think that's the Father's will. But you won't recognize the Christ of your neighbor. And that is the Father's will. You'll see evil in the world and try to make it good. And you'll think that's the will of the Father. But it isn't. The moment you have seen evil that must be made good, you're looking out of a human mind. There is no evil in the kingdom of God. And that's all there is the kingdom of God. Peopled by the divine self, which you are. And where you have seen evil, it is because you are in a sense of a second self. In your divine self, you will not accept evil. Because there is no evil in my Father's kingdom where I am. Now, if you're not in your Father's kingdom now, then you're not divine, are you? If you can't accept that you're in the kingdom of God, then you're not divine. And so if you're not divine, you're out of the law, out of the protection of the law, what are you? You know the answer. You're a second self, and there is no such thing. We are now adjusting our consciousness to recognize that the only heaven there is where I stand. There's no future heaven. There's heaven here and now because I am the divine self. And there's heaven here and now all over this universe because all that is on it is the divine self. And I must dwell within myself to recognize, realize, feel, know, accept that the divine self being the only self, this is the heaven that men seek. It is a now heaven. It is a here heaven. It is the only creation there is. And I am in the midst of it. It is I, and I am it. We are facing the false beliefs of the human mind with fidelity to the Father within. Who says the kingdom of God is within you. And it has ever been within you. It was within you before you came into physical form. It will be within you after you step out of physical form. It is your identity. The kingdom of God is your name. The kingdom of God is Christ the Son, on earth as it is in heaven. And that is why the Father is speaking to this Christ of you in this first letter. And yet there is a tendency of you to not hear the Father's words, to still be concerned about the human sense of self, its many tomorrows, its position, its health. And in the return to the Father's house, in your consciousness, you will discover there is no need for that concern. There is no such self to be concerned about. That self does not exist, except in your thought. The only self you can be is that self which is the child of the Father, the living Spirit of God, living here and now in the kingdom of God in a spiritual form. That is yourself. And until the acceptance of that self is made, you will have the consciousness of a second self. You will be in a divided consciousness. And you will not break the first seal, which releases the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit is released when you accept yourself to be the Spirit. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen, and repent. To repent, then, is to turn back to the beginning of what you originally were before you came into this form. That is from whence thou art fallen. You are fallen from the consciousness that I am the one that you are. The belief that I am not that one is the fall. And the repent is the returning to the consciousness that I am that one. I could never be less, for there is no less. There is no other. I am the one, the living, divine being. And the phrase that must ever ring in your mind is that I am divine life, because to be another kind of life is to be non-existent. Only divine life is, only the Father is, and therefore that life I am now. And as I accept it, I am repenting. I am returning from that which I have fallen. I haven't even left the room. I haven't died. I haven't gone through penance. I haven't repented for my sins. I have merely accepted my name, my identity, and that is repenting. Returning to the one consciousness of the one divine life. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You are divine existence. That is your candlestick. You either accept it and its law governs you, or you live the mortal life until it's over. That's the best offer you'll have all day, that you accept divinity and renounce the belief in mortality. Repent, or I come quickly and remove thy candlestick. You see, we're on a basis whereby we accept our divinity, or the branch that will not is purged. And then Christ in you has to reform, and another body appears. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, I really can't give you the final word on that. I had thought that this might be the one place where tampering occurred, because there is a Nicholas. As far as I could see, he was a leader of a group that had the word of truth. So I don't understand this Nicolaitans. And although I have no inner guidance on it, I have read that there was a group of Nicolaitans who detested those who believed in the Christ and did everything they could to embarrass them and to expose them as frauds and completely stood in their way. But I still have had no inner word either way. We'll have to accept this at the moment, that the Nicolaitans then was a sect who were opposed to the Christian message. And the Father within is saying that those who do not accept the inner Christ, this group of Nicolaitans, or that in you which rejects the Christ might be called the Nicolaitans. I wish I had more definite word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now the ear, of course, is spiritual understanding. We can all hear the words with our physical ears. But the real ear is he that hath spiritual understanding, spiritual consciousness. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now apparently we are not eating of the tree of life, or else that wouldn't be the reward of overcoming. That word overcome becomes the key word to receiving the tree of life. Now you remember the two trees, the tree of life, the tree of good and evil. I want you to see them now as one tree. There is only the tree of life, just as there is only the kingdom of God, just as there is only the Christ. In the fourth dimension, you are conscious of the tree of life. But in the third dimension, you look at the tree of life and you see it as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Still the same tree, but now it becomes the level from which you are capable of working. The tree of life is reality. The tree of good and evil is concept. Your concept about reality becomes the tree of good and evil. The tree of life is reality. The tree of good and evil is illusion. The tree of life is divine thought. The tree of good and evil is human thought about the divine. Now, when you overcome and are given the tree of life, that means divine thought flows through you. The Word of God becomes your thought. You are one with the infinite. The tree of life becomes then the one infinite consciousness functioning or being in you, instead of the finite human mind. Now what must you overcome in order to have divine mind govern you, infinite thought govern you, thought with power govern you, rather than human thought which is without power? You must overcome something. To him that overcometh. We know that divine thought cannot flow through a human being. So we'll say we must overcome the belief that I am a human being. We know that there is no evil in divine thought, no sickness in divine thought, no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no war. Therefore, we must overcome the belief in the reality of these things. We know there is no material thought in divine thought. So we must overcome the belief in a material world. And when you get through with all the things you have to overcome, you find that you've got a list from here to eternity. And the only way you're going to be able to handle that list is to overcome one thing. Just one will overcome everything else. Instead of taking on 500 armies, overcome the belief in the myth of mortality. Divine life is the only, and therefore it is I. In the acceptance, in the overcoming of any life other than the one divine life as the only, then all of the armies you had to take on singly and individually by yourself are taken on by the one divine life. You don't have to lift your sword. You don't have to resist the evil. You don't have to go out and fight the adversaries. I am the divine self. Put down my sword. The divine self has all that the Father has. The divine self is every tomorrow now. The divine self is perfection. I must then overcome the belief that I am not the divine self in order to receive the tree of life which dwells in the midst of the Garden of Paradise. Suppose suddenly you could do that in a second, and you would be in the tree of life in the midst of paradise. Where would paradise come from? Would it suddenly just appear? It must be here. Now, we're standing in it. You don't look for paradise. The moment you're in divinity, you're in it. Where else could divinity be? And so we see that in the Garden of Eden, there is only one infinite consciousness, and it's called the Tree of Life. And when you step out of the one infinite consciousness into my consciousness, or his consciousness, or her consciousness, you're in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because you have rejected your own divinity. And then, you're listening to that talking serpent again. And the curse falls upon your children. In other words, we bring into this world those who are not aware of their divinity, and that's the curse. We bring them into a sense of mortality all over again. And we even reincarnate into a sense of mortality again. And if you couldn't make a translation this time around, if at least you could walk out of this with a knowledge of your divinity to some measure, you'd find you could come back into the next incarnation with that higher consciousness, which would make you to that degree immune to the ridiculous lies about your father that are part of the world thought that we all share and suffer by in this sense of life. Now then, the first letter is the call to accept divinity. He who has the seven stars, he who has accepted divinity, who has walked through this humanness into the acceptance of divinity, who has pursued the seven steps, fulfilled each of the seven purposes, has been illuminated into the realization of his Christhood, says, I who am the light tell you that you are the light too. Follow me. But don't follow someone else. Follow me. And me is Christ within you. That's who I've been talking to. He who has the seven stars has been speaking to Christ in you. And existence is one of the seven candlesticks of Christ in you. That existence is divine, not mortal. It is an immortal self. The human image that you have entertained about yourself is your mental imitation about the divine image that you are. The divine immortal image is your name. The fullness of the Father is your being. The human image is that mentality that we entertain about the divine image. And that is the nature of the hypnosis that binds man within his own thought. Breaking the bonds of your own thought is the release into divinity, accepted, realized, and enjoyed here and now. That's only the first letter to the Church of God in you. Now, as you practice each week what the Spirit saith unto you, then you are having an ear. It's not enough to hear it. Spiritual consciousness never merely hears, it functions, it lives. And therefore, you must practice that which you are capable of accepting until it's a living force, not an intellectual idea. Then you will come to the second letter and the third and the fourth, and each level of consciousness that you bring will enable you to receive even better the next level that is presenting itself to you. Our function is to break the seven barriers, the seven seals to the realization that we are the light that He revealed us to be. We can't do it just by meeting on a Sunday. That can spark us into what we do 24 hours a day. And if it does, we will find that this series is going to do for us that which was started out to do at the first of the year, to take dominion over mind and body. Now, when you're driving home on this particular weekend, when there are so many cars, you should always do the same thing as you're going to do today. But definitely, there should be the realization that only the one divine self exists in this universe. And the law of divinity exists where the divine self is. And as you drive, you make no judgments about human drivers, no judgment about a physical universe. You first reach the realization that the invisible self is ever present in all who walk, all who drive, all who are out there. You make it God's freeway in your consciousness. That acceptance, realized, brings into play the invisible law of divine harmony. You'll feel it actually coming over you like overdrive. Just as the car suddenly peps up with overdrive, this overdrive comes into your consciousness. You feel the quickening. And all of a sudden, there's not a road out there with 30 or 40 or 50 drivers. There's one rhythm. It begins in your consciousness, and this divine expression externalizes as the rhythm of your highway. And if you have experienced it, you know that this is what happens. Then you find the law of divinity on that highway because it has its witness, you. When you learn to do that frequently, you'll be amazed at what a good driver you are. And even those around you turn out to be excellent drivers when they are under the flow of your spiritual awareness. Now, that's the first letter to the church at Ephesus. And we have a totally different revelation than a prediction about the horrible things that are going to happen in the outer world. This is the revelation of the indwelling Christ, and how Christ in you slowly comes through the false human thought of your being, and soul transcends the human mind. Lots of love, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.